This Sisterhood Through Grief podcast is comprised of a group of women who have lost their spouses and bonded during their time in a grief support group. We are not licensed therapists. Rather, we have endured and survived the journey of grief. During our podcast, we will share our stories of how we suffered, what we encountered and conquered during our journeys, and impart raw truths about grieving. As we learned in our group support, we will speak from the I space and always offer non-judgmental support and understanding to each other. We hope to offer our listeners compassionate support by providing empathy and validating one's grief. Knowing you are not alone and having someone who can say, "I know how you feel," will be our gift to our listeners to promote healing, offer hope, and ease pain. We always open our podcast by lighting a three-wick candle and reciting a short verse. So let me begin. This first wick is for the past and where we have been. The second wick is for the present and where we are now. This third wick is for the future and where we hope to be. This episode, Things We Do For Ourselves, is hosted by Amy and Melanie.
So I know this whole journey started. I think it's so easy to get caught up in taking care of the kids and being so caught up in the grief that it's often hard to do things for ourselves. And I think that was always really important for me. I know, kind of like being on a plane and when the oxygen mask comes down, if you don't give yourself oxygen first, you're not going to be of any use to somebody else you need to help. And I think for me, I always needed to keep that in mind when I was dealing with my kids, because I know, you know, I was so deep in the grief and just trying to get through day-to-day life that when I didn't do things for myself, it was easy to forget that I needed to do things for myself. And I would find myself just sinking deeper and deeper into a hole. So I really needed to make a conscious effort to do things for myself.
Yeah, and mainly so even, I mean, you end up losing yourself. Your whole self is evolving into something else. You've lost your spouse, your way of life. Most of us had to move to a new location, new schools, new jobs, or not working, going back to work. So if you didn't take time for yourself, which most of us didn't at first, because the focus was just on the kids. And like you said, Melanie, like our own grief, we were so self-absorbed. Like, how did this happen? How are we here? Why? You're mad, sad, devastated. And then I know I was totally losing myself in, you know, just trying to keep everything afloat and trying to make my kids' life like perfect, you know, or as perfect as I could to make up for them not having their dad. But being like a swimmer all my life, my body always has to swim. And that was like my therapy was at least I would like sometimes I lived with my parents for a long time. So someone was home, I could get out of the house and go to swim practice or go for a run. It was something that I felt so much better afterwards. I would feel guilty at first, just taking the time away from the kids, but really, even when they were little, if somebody else was with them and they were like watching Barney or whatever, they didn't even notice I was gone. And it's something looking back that you realize that, you know, to make yourself a better person too, you need that time for yourself so that you can be there even more engaged with your kids.
I know early on, if I could get a babysitter, and it was usually family, just redefining who you are. Your whole life was wrapped up in being a wife and a mom and having this other person there. Now all of a sudden you're trying to do things, be everything to everybody. And if I didn't have that escape, I was just not in a good place. And like you, fitness was always part of who I was before. And to this day, I'll say it's one of the things that got me through. I mean, just the natural endorphins for me being able to go out. I remember early on, you know, when the kids were in school, like before I went back to work, I would go to the gym, and my favorite thing to do is actually go to spin class, because the lights were down, nobody could see me, and I could sweat and I could cry. And, you know, nobody was paying any attention to me. And that was one of the things I, you know, really liked to do, along with doing, you know, going to the beach and going for walks, just being able to physically move that endorphin. I think for me, it definitely kept me off of any kind of medication because I was getting that natural high. And that was really important for me, even if it meant getting up early in the morning before the kids got up and working out in my living room, doing P90X or whatever it was when they were still too little for me to go to a gym and leave them, or if they didn't want to come to the gym with me. And even sometimes I drag them to the gym with me and stick them in childcare. They may not have liked it, but I needed that escape from just being a mom for a little bit.
No, absolutely. Just in even out of your, like you said, out of not being a mom, but out of our whole situation. Like even if I went to a yoga class or swim practice, sometimes nobody would know who I was or what my story was. So I didn't have to talk about it and I could just escape and be like just me for that hour or whatever. And it's amazing how meditative any sort of exercise is, even like a yoga, a spin, a run, how your mind will just go through stuff as your body's exercising. And the endorphins help tremendously. And then it helped for me, my whole thought process too. I could just work through some things. And like you said, you could cry and nobody really noticed you were crying. And it just gave you, like, you come back all refreshed. And, you know, for most of us too, like money was a little tight. You're trying to work and figure things out. So it's not like we could go buy things for ourselves and things like that. So for me, it was more simpler things, getting away, just outside for a few minutes here and there, which it still is something I need in my daily life too.
Oh, absolutely. All these years later, I mean, that's my escape at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not even to, so I can work things out, but just to shut it out and I'm going to go for, you know, this half an hour really, really hard. And all I can think about is trying not to die. And, you know, keep breathing and take one step in front of the other and just check out from, it was a healthy way to check out, much better than drinking a bottle of wine, which I have been known to do too.
Yeah. You don't have the hangover.
Yes, but the hangover was not worth it. I also think connecting with friends. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not always easy to do all of, it wasn't always easy to do all of these things, but people always are asking, what can I do to help? If you need anything, and, you know, we all know those people who said, you know, if you need anything, let me know, you know, reach out to those people. You know, I would reach out, you know, I was fortunate enough to have my husband's brother offer to take the kids a lot. And that was my downtime. And I know that I would feel when I wasn't taking that time for myself. And after a couple of weeks or a couple of months, if I was just being a mommy all the time, I was not very nice to my kids. I was down on myself. I would just feel myself sinking. So reaching out, and even if it was just to go out for dinner with some friends, to go for a walk, to just do something where I was connecting with other adults was huge for me. Like, I really, really needed that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And our kids need a break from us too. You know, it's healthy for them to be around other people and different bonds. And, you know, as mine got older, they could get dinner on their own, or, you know, get dressed ready for school while I ran a swim practice and I'd come back and we'd go to school. Taught them to be a little self-sufficient, because I think a lot of us ended up probably doing too much for the kids at first just to make up for everything.
Oh, total overcompensation.
We were just trying to survive however we could, going a million miles an hour and taking that time to stop and think about things and, you know, yeah, not feeling guilty for taking an hour to go get your haircut or, like you said, meeting with friends, because that really did help tremendously. And I don't think our kids would ever regret anything. Like, I think mine might say, yeah, my mom would run at like 4 a.m. But they don't think they even remember that, you know, or maybe it's a practice that they'll take on themselves later on.
Right. I was just going to, you're also modeling self-care.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's really important for the kids to see also, that we deserve to have some time to ourselves.
Yes. And I have a son that was when he would, you know, get in trouble at school. I mean, he started running kind of on his own with me in the mornings, like half the amount, just to get the energy out before school and the you know, all the jitters and everything. And that would help kind of help him focus his day. And he still does the same thing now before going to work. Just a little something to get everything going for the day.
Yeah, you know, one of the two of mine likes to exercise too.
Yeah.
This one.
My other one does not.
Also, I think like body work, like going and getting like a manicure, pedicure, going and getting a massage. I think you lose that human contact, you know, isn't that physical touch? And obviously it's different, but, you know, I think, you know, there's studies about how human touch, you know, you miss that. So, you know, even if you just go and get a massage, get mani-pedi, things like simple things like that, not only are you checking out, but you're also having that skin on skin contact that obviously is missing in your life.
Right. And even at home, if, you know, just taking a night off, and, you know, kids, we're just doing chicken nuggets for dinner and just giving your time like off a schedule too, to help yourself just kind of let go of everything. And it's okay. The world did not fall apart because you cooked chicken nuggets for dinner one night.
Or many nights.
Yeah. My kid's favorite meal. No, just taking time to just care for yourself and just pay attention to your feelings. Because I think we got used to, we probably fed off of feeling overwhelmed because that's probably one of the feelings we felt the most, overwhelmed on everything. But it's okay to take care of yourself.
I think over time, as time passed, I think things, you know, shifted and finding things that I could identify with who I was as a human being other than being a mom, because you went from being the wife and the mom to then just being the mom. For me, going back to work really kind of helped me feel complete as far as I was giving something to somebody else, not just always being a mom. And I could check out for that time when I was at work. I could just think about work and I didn't have to think about, I could think about my responsibilities, but being a productive member of society again, instead of just being a mom or just being sad or just being the widow or the W word. To me, I needed that for me. Working was really key for me.
Yeah. Oh, me too. It's the only way I felt life was normal. And I mean, I ended up working at a school because my older one didn't even want to go to school. I had the hardest time keeping him in class when he was in kindergarten. He had just did not handle his dad's death well. So it ended up working out that I got a job at the school he was at. And so he felt a lot more secure knowing I was there. And then I felt secure too, because I could check in on them every day. So I was like working and had my own life, but the kids were still nearby. And that was a huge blessing for me.
And coincidentally, I'm a teacher and went to school too. So it was nice. And the school became family because we're there at such help raise my children.
Absolutely.
Obviously, that's not a job for everybody, but it worked for me. But even, you know, the first couple of years I worked part-time, which was delightful. I could have a little bit of time for myself. I worked and then I could be a mom. I needed that.
Oh yeah, definitely. Different outlets, security, give you safety.
And I think it's important to not feel guilty about it.
Yeah. Cause you will feel guilty about any time you take away from the kids. And I mean, even now that my kids are older, I still feel like I do a lot for them because I love them and I want to, but they sometimes have to back me down. So I'm like, we're growing, mom. I mean, we can do this. You can do stuff for yourself now. It's like them telling me to do stuff.
Right. But relinquishing that, knowing that you have to put the oxygen mask on, because you're not going to be any good to them if you're not good to yourself. And that goes for sleep too. I mean, in the beginning, you know, I would take something to help me fall asleep at night, because if I didn't sleep, I was a disaster. And who was I going to be? You know, I was cranky. I was snapping at them. That wasn't serving any of us any good. I needed to sleep. I needed to do what I needed to do to get that sleep.
Yeah, I think I would exercise so hard that I would just pass out when I hit the pillow, because that does restore you and helps you heal mentally, physically, is the sleep. And that's something moms don't typically get anyway. But if you've had a lot of trauma in your life, that kind of keeps you awake too at night, worrying about everything. But you were smart, Melanie, just to take something, get through it and heal. And
that doesn't need to be permanent. And
no. And it's not. You just go through
it. You need to shut your brain off.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. And
for me, sleep was, you know, I would just lay there at night and sleep just didn't come. So for me, being able to just take something to help me get to sleep, and you know, there's plenty of non-addictive things, you know, melatonin and
right.
That definitely helped me.
Yeah, because your dishes are never all done. The laundry's never all done.
you have to learn to let go of so much that you would not have let go of before.
Right. Yeah. They're just with one person. It just doesn't all get done. And
it really doesn't matter, because in the grand scheme of things, the kids are going to remember you being present for them in a productive way, or you being present for them being crabby and miserable. So, you know, leave the dishes in the sink and go to sleep early, or leave the dishes in the sink and play a game with them, do something to connect with them, or to disconnect yourself. Whatever it is, you just need to give yourself permission for that. And it took me a while to get there.
Right. Oh, yeah. No, that's a very good thing you brought up about playing a game or something with the kids. Because sometimes you're like, oh, yeah, I got to get this done and that done. And your uniform's tomorrow. Is your homework done? And no, they really just, they do want your time. And you feel so much better, too, engaging with them and everyone laughing and taking your mind off of something. And yeah, kind of build some more bonds, brings you closer together.
So take care of yourself as much as you can, whenever you can. Take advantage of those people that are willing to help you and step in. Even if it's, you have to take a day off of work when the kids are at school, just so you can have some time for yourself.
Yeah, because people don't offer if they don't mean it. And they, when they do offer, even, you know, to send you to the spa or to watch your kids while you go take a walk. I think a lot of us probably didn't take people up on that, but you should, because they mean it out of their heart and they want to do something for you, and that makes them feel better too.
Yeah. And we all, I mean, even to this day, I feel helpless when somebody I know loses somebody. So you do it when they make those, you know, I'll offer to help out in some way. I mean it, but sometimes you just need to be more specific and say, okay, you can, if you really want to help, can you come over and watch the kids for an hour so I can go get my nails done?
Yep. And that's a huge, that's like Christmas right there. Yeah.
Yep.
And it's a huge, but taking care of yourself is a big block into the healing of grief and everything else. It is huge.
So we're busy taking care of everybody else. Don't forget to take care of yourself. So if you have any questions or suggestions for a topic, feel free to reach out to us at Sisterhood for Grief on Instagram or Facebook. Anything else you want to add, Amy?
No, that's it. Thank you, guys.